Detektor FM. Zurück zum Thema.
2012, vor 4 Jahren, da hat er noch Kunst studiert. Dann hat er sich Demonstrationen und Protesten gegen Assad angeschlossen. Er sollte deswegen verhaftet werden, musste fliehen. Und heute lebt er in der belagerten Stadt Aleppo, die im Syrien-Konflikt dieser Tage die Schlagzeilen bestimmt. Die Rebellen hatten dort vor allem im Osten der Stadt eine Hochburg, doch die Regierungstruppen, unterstützt von Russland und dem Iran, hatten ihre Art und Weise, damit umzugehen. Sie bombten die Stadt in Schutt und Asche. Es gibt de facto kein ziviles Leben mehr. Wohnhäuser, Krankenhäuser, Schulen. Jede Sekunde kann an jedem Ort die nächste Rakete einschlagen, so wie 100-fach geschehen. Mittendrin lebt der Mann, von dem ich eingangs gesprochen habe, Monta Etaki. 28 Jahre alt, so alt wie ich, mit seiner Frau und seinem 5 Monate alten Sohn. Er ist zum Aktivisten geworden und er muss nun fliehen. Gestern wurde die Stadt trotz vereinbarten Waffenstillstands bombardiert. Heute war es ruhig und wir konnten Monta erreichen. Er hat uns erzählt, dass er den Tag damit verbracht hat, seine Sachen zu packen. Und ich habe ihn gefragt, ob auch er nun fliehen wird.
Sure, we don't have a choice because we are under a real danger because of the Iranian and the sectarian militias with supporting the Assad regime militia, the Russians too, who is treating us all the time. If we didn't evacuate out of the city, they will wipe all the city and all the people in it.
Where do you get food and water from right now?
I stored some food and water since beginning of the siege. I prepare myself even before the siege. I bought a lot of things to still alive during all these days. I was buying and clean water for drinking from the market and live without vegetables and all these days of the siege. Yes.
How much food and water have you left? How many days more could you survive with that?
3 months. 3 months later, I think I can survive with my stored food. I think I'm the lucky because I stored all of this. But people not that lucky for that. They are lost everything. There was really starve here happening in Aleppo city. But people they tried to survive, and under this raining of the bombs, they get killed by the all the ways, by the hunger and by the bombing. I'm sorry.
Wir haben keine Wahl, hat Monta Etaki hier gesagt. Wir können hier nicht bleiben, weil wir in wirklicher, echter Gefahr sind. Die Iraner, die Russen und die syrische Armee, die bedrohen uns die ganze Zeit. Und wer die Stadt nicht verlässt, den werden sie auslöschen, sagt Monta Etaki hier. Ich habe ihn gefragt, woher sie jetzt zu essen bekommen. Er hat etwas eingelagert, als die Belagerung begann. Und damit, sagt er, gehört er aber zu den Glücklichen. Vor allem sauberes Wasser hat er in großen Mengen gekauft. Aber sie leben ohne Gemüse, ohne frisches Essen. Und es gibt keine Märkte oder Geschäfte mehr. Die Menschen in Aleppo leiden Hunger, aber die Leute versuchen zu überleben. Jetzt werden sie auf die Old Ways, wie er sagt, getötet vom Hunger und von den Bomben. Ich wollte dann noch wissen, ob es überhaupt noch irgendwelche sicheren Orte gibt für die Menschen dort.
The only safe way is to the countryside of Aleppo by the deal of the evacuations only. But the other ways, it's not safety at all, because if I got to the Assad regime area, I will be executed or just or arrested and tortured until death, or just taken to the Assad army to fight with him. There's no way except that way for the countryside.
Der einzige sichere Ort, sagt Monta Etaki hier, ist das Umland von Aleppo. Alles andere ist unsicher, vor allem die Gegenden, wo das Assad-Regime nun wieder die Oberhand trägt. Für ihn gäbe es dort 3 Optionen. Er wird sofort exekutiert oder gefoltert, bis er stirbt, oder er wird in die Armee rekrutiert und muss dort selber töten. Also muss er versuchen, mit seiner Familie ins Umland zu kommen. Von dort will er es in die Türkei schaffen. Seine Eltern, die sind schon dort. Ich wollte dann von Monta noch wissen, wie es jetzt vor seiner Haustür so aussieht, wie man sich das Ganze vorstellen muss.
There is wells in every street and cans and tanks in the street for water for people whom there is a lot of cars. We are right now in the end of our world, like it's the ending of the planet. All the cars here and all the people, they are here in these streets gathered. If I went out to the street. I will never find a market or shops, because all of it destroyed it, or just the owner of these shops just evacuate or just fled or just ran out or just got shot because of the bombardment. I can see that some stops, people trying to buy it on the street, on the side of the street, some old things and some old furniture for burning it for the fireplace. At night, my neighborhood, it seems looks like an ocean of darkness. You can't see any light in the street because it's dangerous. The warplanes, if they noticed any moving light, if any light just turned it on, the warplanes will attack it by the warplanes and even by the artillery.
Monte Itaki sagt, es liegen überall Brocken, Wassertanks stehen in den Straßen herum für die Bevölkerung. Er sagt, es fühle sich an wie das Ende der Welt. Man findet draußen absolut kein Leben, keine Geschäfte mehr. Weil die Besitzer entweder geflohen sind, erschossen wurden oder weil die Häuser zerbombt wurden. Manche Leute versuchen in den Seitenstraßen Möbel oder alte Sachen zu kaufen, um etwas zum Feuer machen zu haben. Und nachts, da sagt er, sieht er nur einen Ozean aus Dunkelheit, weil niemand irgendein Licht macht. Selbst das kleine Licht würde von Flugzeugen oder Artillerie sofort beschossen. Das ganze Interview mit Monta finden Sie später auf unserer Seite auf detektor.fm. Und heute konnten nun endlich tausende Menschen Ost-Aleppo verlassen. Russland preist das als humanitäre Geste. Assad aber, so viel scheint festzustehen, scheint mit seiner Strategie der Vertreibung sein Ziel erreicht zu haben. Weil keiner in die Stadt kommt, sind auch zuverlässige Angaben, was die Opferzahlen in Aleppo angeht, schwierig. Schätzungen gehen von bislang über 400.000 Toten im Syrien-Konflikt aus.
Where are you right now?
I'm in besieged city, in besieged Aleppo right now, at my home with my family. I'm here since 2012. I moved from western Aleppo to here since 2012 because the Assad regime was afraid to arrest me during the demonstrations. And when they get these areas get liberated from the Assad regime gang, and I moved to here to not get arrested and to live as free, you know, because it was free place to live in, not like the Assad regime area, which is a dictatorship place.
Can you describe me how was your night?
This night was quite because of the deal, which it started at 12 a.m. and I was packing all my stuff and until the middle of night, and then I slept a while, and then the day continued in the quiet. But earlier, when the civil defense crew went to the cross route to open it, the militia of Iran targeted the civil defense crew. One of them is my friend, and he's injured seriously. Yes.
You said that you are packing your stuff. Are you going to leave?
Sure, we don't have a choice. We can't stay here in Aleppo because we are under real danger because of the Iranian and the sectarian militias. We're supporting the Assad regime militia, the Russians too, who is treating us all the time. If we didn't evacuate out of the city, they will wipe all the city and all the people in it.
In your Twitter bio, there is written that you're a designer, an artist, a journalist.
Yes.
How many interviews did you have these days with people outside of Syria? Is it possible? Is it easy? And who's interested in talking to you?
Actually, during the last these days, when the attacks became more intense on the city and a lot of people killed, we just start a talk to all the world and shout out to the world to know what's happening in Aleppo. So we got the interest from the world, and I start receiving messages for standing and from the journalists. This first started with the people who's standing with the what's happening in Aleppo, and they started to protesting in Europe and the US and all the countries. So after that, I start receiving the calls from the journalists during the last 5 days. I'm just starting at the 8 a.m. and pick up my phone and never let it until the 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. all the time, just talking to the people who's interesting personally or for their job as a journalist.
Where do you get food and water from right now?
I stored some food and water since the beginning of the siege. I was prepare myself even before the siege. I bought a lot of things for to still alive during all these days. I was buying and clean water for drinking from the market and using the well water for cleaning and live without vegetables and all these days of besiege. Yes.
How much food and water have you left? How many days more could you survive with that?
3 months. 3 months later, I think I can survive with my stored food. I think I'm the lucky because I stored all of this. But people not that lucky for that. They are lost everything.
Where do people around you get their food and water from right now?
They was relying on their works to get money for buying stuffs before the siege. But when the siege started, people became relying only on the aid, which is run out in the first month of the siege. Then people had something they stored. They was using it, and some people was helping each other for that. And some people just loaning some money, buying expensive food, in which left in the city. And about the bread, which is not available in the city by the special sources or the private sources, like the only bakeries is for the local council, which is offering 1 kilogram for every family for every 2 days. People was really hungry if they wasn't have money for buying expensive food or just preparing themselves before the besiege. There was really starve here happening in Aleppo city, but people they tried to survive, and under this raining of the bombs, they are get killed by the all the ways, by the hunger and by the bombing. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Are there right now any safe areas around you where you can go?
The only safe way is to the countryside of Aleppo by the deal of the evacuations only. But the other ways, it's not safety at all, because if I got to the Assad regime area, I will be executed or just or arrested and tortured until death, or just taken to the Assad army to fight with him. There's no way except that way for the countryside.
Mm. Can you describe a little more your area where you live in right now? What does it look like, your home place?
I am in one of the, you can say, best neighborhoods in East Aleppo, because it's near to the to West neighborhoods, which is under Assad regime control. This is the closest area to the Assad regime and the population on the other side. My street and my neighborhood had reduced to rubble, but not too much like what happened in the eastern neighborhoods of East Aleppo. There is wells in every street and cans and tanks in the street for water for people whom there is a lot of cars. We are right now in the end of our world. Like it's the end ending of the planet. All the cars here and all the people, they are here in these streets gathered. If I went out to the street, I will never find a markets or shops. because all of it destroyed it, or just the owner of these shops just evacuate or just fled or just ran out or just got shot because of the bombardment. I can see that some stops, people trying to buy it on the street, on the side of the street, some old things and some old furniture for burning it for the fireplace. At night, my neighborhood, it seems looks like an ocean of darkness. You can't see any light in the street because it's dangerous. The warplanes, if they noticed any moving light, if any light just turned it on, the warplanes will attack it by the warplanes and even by the air terror. Even the houses cannot turn on high lightning because that will be dangerous too. If you had an opportunity to live in Aleppo and see what it looks like, we'll describe it as a middle age with some technology. That's what it looks like.
What would happen to you? You are an activist. When you would leave your home, and what are you doing instead?
I have a family here, and I have to stay near to them, close to them, to give them a hope. But moving out not that easily, because we was facing direct death in some way. There's nothing to do out for me, for example. I can't buy stuff, things, because it's not available. There's no fresh food, for example. Before the siege, we was meet up with my friends, the revolutionaries, for working in peaceful activities. But during the siege, all of us was so busy in bringing basic needs for our families.
People in Europe are asking if there's anything they can do for people like you in Syria. Is there anything we could or should do?
I think there's no way except the political demonstrations and putting the pressure on the government to stop that genocide. Not just in Aleppo, it's happening in Syria since 4.5 years because of the Assad regime. He's still in his place in the presidency. I think world should and could and must stop that criminal and just account him and taking him to the court to get his punishment, and that will be an best thing. By the way, all the criminals should be talked to the court, and that what will finish all of the suffer in Syria. And also, a direct intervention from the Secretariat in Iraq and Iran in Syria. They should cut their hands from this country.
Have you got like a message to the West, to the Western media, the people here, to our politicians?
I think they should stand in solidarity with the Syrians to end that suffers by putting pressures from the politicians or the government on the governments to just applying the injustice. If Bashar al-Assad and his allies didn't get his punishment, I think that will extend to the other countries. For example, if I was a president and I saw in another country there's someone killing his people for their rights, I will do the same for my people. If they try to protest against me, because there is no justice in this world. So I think that will be worst for the next generation of politicians if that's a problem not saluted.
And what are the next steps for you and your little family are going to be?
Firstly, I have to go for the only direction for the countryside, and then I have to planning to go to my parents in Turkey. I will try for that. I have to take some rest in some safe place, not in Syria. And I have to see some civilization, actually. I was living out of civilization. I'm not used to live like this without any, at least, things. I need to see some markets in the streets, or just normal people walking down the streets, not fright people and destruction everywhere and ashes and dust and blood everywhere. And I need some rest in real civilization.
When you are saying that you're leaving, going to the countryside, I mean, for us it sounds like, okay, we're just going there, let's take the car. But for you, it's different. And how are you going to get there? Maybe you can describe that. Are you walking? You take all your stuff? How do we have to imagine that?
Firstly, you know, we are going by the buses. I have to leave my car here, and I think I will burn it. I found some place to stay in until I found a way to go to Turkey.
Oh, why are you going to plan to burn your car?
Because it's mine and I don't want to someone take it, especially if it's Shabiha or army or that sectarians. I need to burning it at all and with all my stuffs, which it's useless, and I holding it. So I will collecting everything in one place and just firing it up.
And when you're going to leave your home with your family, do you have to cover yourself or something to not being recognized?
No, I'm going with the legal way. I should be in under the guarantee of the international organization to not get hurt. Maybe I think I will go. I will go with the rebels, not with the civilians, because I have a lot of things to carry with me, including the equipment, and because I'm not sorted as a civilian. I'm an activist, and that's the same for all the activists here.
Okay, Monte, thank you very much. I hope only the best. Yeah, for
thank
your
you.
Family. Yeah, thank you very, very much, Monte.
Yeah.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Yeah, welcome. Bye-bye.
Alle Beiträge, Reportagen und Interviews können Sie jederzeit nachhören im Netz auf detektor.fm.